Good day, friends. Again, we come to you, and how happy we are that we can come to you and discuss with you the precious Word of God. In our last lesson, we have been dealing in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and we were discussing the question of the rich young ruler, found in verse 17, on down through verse 27. In fact, it goes right down to verse 31, where you have the question of the disciples. And the question was raised by this young man, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Remember, he came running to Jesus, and he fell at Jesus' feet, and he asked this question, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. I do not want to go over the whole thing again, except to refresh your memory concerning it, because I think it's very, very vital that we get the truth of what the Lord Jesus is trying to say to this man. For when he said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life, he manifested ignorance of his own condition before God, and he manifested his ignorance on how to receive life. As you and I well know, life can only come through relationship. Then he asked the question, why do you call me good? Only one can qualify for that. And yet later, Jesus said to the young man, you want really life? You want real life? Eternal life? Follow me. What an implication concerning our Savior. Now, Jesus met him on the ground of doing. What shall I do? And our Lord repeated the law of Moses concerning one's relationship to our neighbors or our responsibility to man. In verses 19 and 20, and a man says, I've kept all these things. I've kept this law. And I would say he was a good man in the sight of men, an ideal man of the world, possibly rich and moral and good, but without eternal life. Is it possible that a person can be rich and moral and good and not have eternal life? Of course. Life doesn't come through being rich. Life doesn't come through morality. Life doesn't come through being good. Eternal life, for which everyone wants, can only come from God, who is eternal. I can't get it from man. Life is not a commodity you can buy. I should say not. In fact, I have a good time sometime. I go into some of our stores, chain stores, and buy my groceries. And oftentimes I'll see a little boy or a little girl sitting in the cart, and I generally ask the parents, on what shelf did he get that baby, that fellow, that little girl? In fact, the other day, one fellow said, well, I'm sorry, sir, he's the last one on the shelf. There are no more for sale. Last one on the shelf. Well, I said, I didn't know you could get kids by buying them. Gives an opportunity, of course, of giving a testimony. Life can only come through relationship. But now the Lord challenged him now. He didn't question the young man as to the fact that he kept his relationship and his responsibility to men, but he did bring up his responsibility to God. You remember the law of Moses divide the first four, our relationship to God, and the last six, our relationship to man. So the Lord didn't question him on his relationship to man, but he did bring up his responsibility and his relationship to God when Jesus said, and I read it, verse 21, and when Jesus beheld him, he loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou likest, go thy way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, you shall have treasure up in heaven. Come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he went away sad at that saying, went away grieved, because he had great possessions. What did Jesus say? Sell what you have, and give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. Is that how to receive life eternal? Well, someone says that was the answer of the question, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? One thing thou lackest. You had everything else. But you lack one thing. What was that? Life. What did he lack? Relationship to God. This boy had an idol. He had great possessions. He was a materialist. Do you want eternal life, my friend? There's only one way you'll ever get eternal life. There is no other way. but relationship to the Savior. As I said a while ago, this man had an idol. And when he wanted to do something, the Lord met him with a law. The law says, do and thou shalt live. Do what? My relationship to my neighbor. And you have that, of course, in verse 19. And the boy says, I've kept all these. Now, what about your relationship to God? Is he first? Get rid of your God, the Lord God, right down into his heart. Now, do you mean that a rich man can't be saved? No. This man's riches, his possessions, were his idol, not God. And Jesus put his finger on it. You remember in Luke chapter 10, allow me to do this, in Luke chapter 10, the question was raised, the same question was raised by a lawyer. A lawyer came to Jesus and said, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, you're a lawyer, what does the law say? The law says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, this do and thou shalt live. If you can keep the whole law, you live. But the man willing to justify him said, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And the Lord told the story of the Good Samaritan. You see, with the rich young ruler here in Mark 10, the issue was his relationship to God. The issue in Luke 10 with the lawyer was his relationship to man. If salvation, if eternal life comes from doing something, here's your answer. What shall I do? Keep the whole law of God without breaking it. And the Word of God says, if you break the law in one point, you're guilty of all. Cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Nobody has ever been saved by keeping the law. May I remind you, the law was never given to save. It was given to make sin exceeding sinful. It was given to open your eyes to the awfulness of sin. The law is not of faith. The law cannot justify, the law cannot save, and the law cannot forgive. There's no mercy in law. And when these two men, the rich young ruler or the lawyer, came wanting to do something, and the law is presented, it shuts their mouths. But the rich young ruler, he went away because he had a God, his possessions. The lawyer went away too. He went away without life. There's no other way. John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus said, Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and this he says to the leaders of Israel, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You remember in Acts, in chapter 2 and chapter 3, Peter preaches to the nation. In chapter 4, he gives the testimony of the gospel to the Sanhedrin, to the leaders of Israel. And he closes his message by saying, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. People say, well, Mr. Mitchell, there must be more than one way. There must be many, many ways. I had a lady from India one time tell me, Mr. Mitchell, she said, you have your way to God, I have my way to God. And other people have their way to God. Don't narrow it down to your way. Well, my friend, I don't have a way. My way is the way of death. As Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the way thereof are the ways of death. You say, but you're narrow. Yes, Jesus said, narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Listen, friend. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The measurement is God's character, God's glory. Now, in Romans 3 it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In the same chapter it says there's only one God. Now, if there's only one God, and all men are sinners, how many ways of salvation will he have? One way. He didn't send an angel to take your place. He sent Jesus, his Son. And Jesus Christ came down into the human race for the express purpose of delivering you and me from sin and giving to us, opening the way whereby we can have eternal life. This John 3:36 says, he that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. I just hope I've made this thing very, very clear to you. There's only one God who is righteous. All men have sinned and fallen short of his glory. Then he'll only have one way of salvation. Jesus said, I am that way. And there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now then, there's a question raised by the disciples. Verse 23, this rich young man went away grieved because he had great possessions. He had a materialistic philosophy of life. Now I want to tell you very frankly, in America, where we've had so much blessing, so much privilege, so many Bibles, so many churches, so much preaching, there are a great, great many of our citizens and of our people whose lives are run with a materialistic philosophy. If not that, a humanistic philosophy. What do you mean by that? Well, there's one group. They have one great aim in life. That's to get money. They get material possessions. They're obsessed with it. It's become their God. That's a materialistic philosophy. And homes have been ruined and lives have been shattered because of egotistical, selfish men or women who have a materialistic philosophy of life which lands in hell. And there's the humanistic philosophy of life, or as I say, the humanist who believes that man is the center of creation. Self, man. Don't need God, don't need a Savior. Man is sufficient unto himself. Can land in judgment in hell too. My friend, if it was possible for you to be saved any other way, there would be no need for God to send his Son to die on the cross for you and me. Why should God send his Son to become an accursed thing that you and I might be saved? If there'd been any other way, my friend, there'd be no need to send the Savior. But because there was no other way, and down through the centuries, from Adam down through the centuries to the present time, men have tried every inconceivable way to get rid of their sins and to have eternal life, and they have failed. Will we ever learn the lesson? There is only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way. And hence I love to sing the song. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Now this brings up an issue with the disciples. Verse 23, and Jesus looked round about and said to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. Now he doesn't say they can't. He just said, how hard is it? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished, the disciples were astonished. In verse 24, they were astonished at his words. Verse 26, they were astonished without measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? If the rich can't be saved, who can? Now you must get this background concerning these disciples. to the Jew, down through the centuries, especially between Moses and Christ in our Lord's day. Riches, material gain was a sign of the blessing of God. If a man was rich, it was because God had made him rich. Hence, he must be under the blessing of God. This is what raised the word of the disciples. They were astonished. They said, who then can be saved? Who in the world can be saved if the rich who are under the blessing of God can't be saved? Now, Jesus didn't say they couldn't be saved. He said it was hard for them to be saved. And again he said, it's for those who trust in riches. How hard is it for them to enter into the kingdom of God? See. And the answer is in verse 27. Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Ah, how wonderful it is. How wonderful it is. I don't care. Again, I say, I don't care what your condition is, whether you're rich or poor, bond or free. Whether you're across the tracks or this side of the tracks. Makes no difference which side of the tracks you're on, whether you're on my side or the other side. Whichever side I'm on, you might be on the opposite side, I don't know. But I know one thing, I don't care who you are or what you are, you can't save yourself. Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. There isn't a man on the face of the earth who has been able to save himself. If anybody is saved, God's got to do the saving. Again, I come back to it, friend. Jesus is the only Savior. You can call it anything you want to, narrow or broad or anything else. There's only one way whereby you can come to know the Lord Jesus. Only one way whereby you can come to know the Lord. Only one way you can get eternal life. Only one way to get freed from your sin. Only one way to get forgiveness. That's through Jesus Christ. He came to put away your sin by the sacrifice of himself. And he was raised from the dead that you might have life and have it everlastingly. That's why, again, I come back to my verse. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. Now there's an issue raised again. Verse 28 down to verse 31. Peter says, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake in the Gospels. He shall receive 100-fold now at this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Many that are first shall be last, the last first. What about these disciples? Could I put in simple words, Jesus is saying, Peter, you've left all to follow you, to follow me. Peter, do you think I'm going to be in your debt? Do you think God is going to be in your debt, my friend, if you give up things for him? Oh, no. He'll give you the things that are of most value. He will give you things that are lasting. He will give you things that will bring peace and joy and blessing to your heart. Riches do not make a person happy. Position doesn't make a person happy. Pleasure doesn't make a person happy. These are just passing things. As 1 John 2 declares, verse 17, do you remember? He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What's the preceding word? The world in its lusts passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And by the way, you don't lose out. You know, when a person accepts a Savior and begins to witness for the Lord, sometimes they have some persecution. You know, it's not hard, really, it's not hard to give up your friends for Christ. The hardest thing is when your friends give you up. That's when you find you have some real pride. But do you know, and I say this frankly, It's hard when your friends give you up. I know what I'm talking about. I've experienced that. But you know, the Lord's given me thousands of friends. Real friends. Who've stood by through all kinds of weather. All kinds of experiences. all kinds of testings and afflictions. Oh, no, my friend. The closer you get to the Savior, you'll find that He'll give you, He'll send along some of His own family. You'll have that joy unspeakable and full of glory. I think maybe I'd better leave that there. You will never give anything up for the Savior. You never lose by giving to Him. I want this very, very clearly understood in your mind. And how wonderful to know that the Lord Jesus can satisfy your heart. Do you love the Savior? You remember, life can only come through relationship to Jesus Christ. And he that hath the Son of God hath life. May you rejoice in him today. And may he bless you today for his name's sake.